I'm going to ask a special little treat of each of you today. Will you give me a few extra minutes today to present the gospel? Time gets away from us on Sunday mornings like this with the little extras in the service, but we do have dinner following, so you're not going to starve to death if you give me a few extra minutes, will it? Will it hurt you? Sharon, Seth has already got his watch out. He's going to time me, so. I will try not to keep you too long, but there's some things that the Lord laid upon my heart I really need to share today. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. I'm going to ask you to stand as I read God's word again today. Out of respect for God's word, I think it's so important that we stand when we hear God's word read. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, in Jesus' name. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, and then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Let us pray. Lord, today, just in the minutes that we have today, Lord, as we look at your word, open it up to us. Prepare the hearts of each one here that the ground is fertile in the hearts. Lord, that it is not rocky, that it is not hard, but rather, Lord, that it is ready to receive your word. Open our minds that we're going to understand it, and open our ears as we listen to your spirit. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As a Christian, we often think of sin and temptation typically as some of the first areas. When we think of sin and temptation, we think of the first two areas that come to our mind as lust and pride. The sin of lust and the sin of pride. Well, these sins are deadly. There's another sin that has brought about as much or more damage to men and women. In our culture, even in this sanctuary, there are some of you that are struggling with this sin. It may be not an obvious sin, but yet in some ways it's a sin that seems to be very easy to hide. And in our culture as Christians, we have gotten very good at making it look like it's acceptable. I'm speaking about materialism. It's similar to greed. It's similar to envy, wanting what the neighbors have. The message today is not about tithing. Thought it was kind of cute when the kids come up and they were talking, they were thinking we were going to talk about money and giving money. I'm not going to talk about that today. I want to talk about, are we handling what God has given us properly? What are your priorities in your life? I read a rather an interesting statistic a few months ago. And it said that the average American, and I believe that most everyone here today is an average American, is that you spend 80% of your time that you are awake making, spending, or thinking about money. We worry about money. In the years that I have been in the ministry, I have had all kinds of people sit across the desk from me, and I've had people come, and they have admitted adultery. They have come, and they have admitted that they've been stealing. But do you know that I have never had someone come and sit at my desk and tell me that they're greedy, that they're dealing with the sin of greed. We tend to look at greed, at materialism, on a sliding scale. We have a problem pinning it down in our own lives. For some reason, it has become such an acceptable sin amongst the Christians today, and that's probably why it is so deadly. Jesus is addressing this issue in our text today. Just a few short months ago, Michael took and helped us move our possessions. As a pastor and his wife, we have too much stuff, but we've gotten rid of a lot. But how about those of you that have lived in your home for 40, 50, 60 years? Do you know how much stuff you've got stuffed away in all of the corners? How much stuff we all hang on to? Michael told me I couldn't move for at least 15 years. He figured by that time he'd be too old to lift a box. But guess what? We've all got a problem with it. We gain it one piece at a time. Sharon went to an auction sale yesterday. I'm going to tell a little story on my poor sweet wife this morning. She went to an auction sale yesterday, and I told her, I said, go ahead and go. I said, honey, I'm not going to even let you take the checkbook with. But you know what, honey? I want to tell you something. Everything you carry into this house will have to be carried out one day. Sharon came home empty-handed. Praise the Lord. We don't need everything we think we do. Where's your treasure stored? Proverbs 23, verse 5. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes its wings, like an eagle that flies towards the heavens. Wealth does not stay with us. It's amazing to me how we've allowed greed and materialism to take over. I'm going to give you a quick list of 7 things that people will do for $2 million. You're going to shake your head at this list. And I know there's many more things we could add to this list, but these are the 7 that I came up with. The first one is, for $2 million, people will abandon their family to get $2 million. For $2 million, there are people that will become a prostitute for a week. For $2 million, there are people that will give up their American citizenship. For $2 million, there are people that will leave their spouses. And there are people that will withhold a testimony and allow a murderer to go free for $2 million. There are people that will kill a stranger for $2 million. And this is the one that hurts me the most. For $2 million, there are people that will give their children up for adoption. Jesus warns us in Luke 12:15, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. From Luke. What we accumulate here is only temporary. Moths will eat it. You know, there were wealthy people in Jesus' day. Their clothing was made out of wool. It was sewn with gold thread. And moths, as we all know, love to eat wool. Rust will destroy the earthly things. The storehouses of grain. There were mice and rats, worms, insects that were eating the grain and destroying it. How about the thieves that broke into the house to take the prized possessions? I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. I'm not talking just today, but it's the same thing today, isn't it? It's the same stuff. Jesus used this as an example 2,000 years ago, and it is so relevant today, and yet we try to push it aside. There's a Christian eternal perspective. We talked about worship this morning. There's a joy when we come together and make a commitment to be at a regular and to be a passive worshiper, one that's passionate about worshiping, I should say. That's what God wants us to do. Worship is never a time that is wasteful in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter if it's a private worship or if it's a corporate worship. It is a deposit in our heavenly bank. Worship moves and delights the heart of God. How about that Christ-like character? The Bible teaches us that we clearly need to lay up treasures in heaven. We need to make every attempt to strengthen that Christ-like character in each one of us. Every time we do what God has called us to do, to be a Christ-like, it's another deposit in our bank account. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9 say it very clearly. To sum it up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, and not returning evil for evil or an insult for an insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Every time you and I choose love over hate, every time that we choose kindness over harshness, every time we choose telling the truth over lying, every time that we choose forgiveness over holding that grudge. Oh, isn't it fun to hold a grudge? Oh, how devastating when we do it. What we do, how about when we choose a polite spirit over being rude to someone? We delight the heart of God when we do these things. How about that expression of generosity? Every time you and I show an act of kindness, an act of compassion to someone, we build up a treasure in heaven. It might seem like a small act of kindness, but it counts. Others are going to look at you and they're going to laugh at you. They might even say, what difference does it make? But Jesus calls us to express his love with whoever we meet. When we do these things, we store up those treasures in heaven. Rust will not corrupt them. Moths will not eat them. Thieves are not going to steal them. It's a great investment plan. I want to add just one more thing to all of this. Again, if you remember from the children's sermon, leading others to Christ. When you get to heaven, just think of how exciting it will be, what joy it will be when you can see those you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with. How about your children? Have you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them? How about your grandchildren, your friends, your other relatives, your neighbors? How about the lady that waits on you at your favorite restaurant? Or maybe the young fellow working at the convenience store? Have you shared Jesus Christ with these people? Wouldn't it be just grand if when you got to heaven, somebody came up to you and said, I'm here because you shared Jesus Christ with me. Wouldn't that be exciting to have somebody do that? That's what we're called to do. Share the Jesus Christ so that we can obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. An inheritance that's undefiled and will not fade away. And it's that inheritance is reserved in heaven. That comes out of 1 Peter 1:4. So what are you focusing your eyes on today? Jesus chose materialism in our text to talk about in our text. But did you know that you and I are so easily deceived? We think we know what God's will is without submitting to his will. We cannot know God's will until we submit to it, until we become what he wants us to be. We need to put on spiritual blinders. Put spiritual blinders on so that we look to him and to him alone. Look to the author and the perfecter of your faith. Fix your eyes on the unseen things of heaven rather than the things of this world which will never last. Today I want to close with a story. I want to tell you about a young man. According to our standards today, this young man of 33 years was a failure. He disappointed his friends. He disappointed all of his followers. His family considered him a hopeless dreamer. This man never drew a salary. This man never saved any money. This man never owned a house or a pillow to lay his head on. He never achieved any of the above status symbols. But this man achieved the cross in which he suffered a lonely death. What a tragedy for such a fine young man to come to such a terrible end in his life. But today, I call this fine young man Lord. I call him my Savior. And my prayer today is that you know who this young man was, who he is today, because his name is Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Amen. Lord, today, again, we just say thank you. But Lord, work in our hearts because we all have a problem with greed. We all have a problem with materialism if we want to admit it or not. Lord, I pray that you will continue to work with us, continue to touch us, continue to take and show us that our eyes are on you. That yes, we can truly stand before you one day and say, yes, Lord, you are my Lord and Savior. And I have done what you've asked me to do here on earth. And that's sharing the gospel with those around me. In thy name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnal.